It's your day. Here we go. Let's show up our verse. This is my theme verse for the year, and I'm making it yours. Here we go. Help me with this. Let me run, loose and free, celebrating God's great work. Every bone in my body laughing, singing. God, there's no one like you. You put the down and out on their feet and protect the unprotected from bullies. Okay, does anybody have that memorized? Yeah, Scotty is it? Come on, people. All right, Scotty, you and I this year, we're going to run loose and free, okay? Loose and free. Yeah, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to run in our boxers down the street. And everybody's going to wonder, what do those guys have that we don't have? Well, I guess that didn't sound right. Oh, man. Well, it's good to be back here. Honestly, it really is good to be up here on stage. How are you guys doing? Good to see you. Sorry, I need to talk to me afterwards. I'd love to find out how you're doing. I haven't been here in a couple weeks, so I need to connect with all these relationships. So I'm just going to do it one by one. So 2 weeks ago was the first time I ever missed a service because I was sick in 15 years. And I didn't miss it. I was here, but I couldn't speak because I had... Anybody get that cough? Right? I don't think it's a cough so much as a low-grade Ebola virus. Because I'm still battling. It's like 2-3 weeks. I'm still battling that thing. So my buddy Tony spoke for me, which was fantastic. And last week I had planned a trip to go visit my daughter. She's in college. It's her first year in college. And I was able to witness the great athletic event, which is Grand Canyon University basketball. And you'll be pleased to know that the Grand Canyon University Antelopes beat the Seattle University Redhawks in basketball. Woo! How many for some of you, how many is that the first time you've ever heard of either one of those colleges? But it was great. It's so funny because at the end of the basketball game, they had a speaker. It was Willie from Duck Dynasty spoke. I know, right? That was pretty awesome. He was good. I'm going to use a lot of his material today. So if you haven't been here and I haven't been here, I want to just kind of catch you up on where we're at in this whole idea of living free. You know, I think for most of us have an issue in our life, and it's not that we don't know what the right thing to do. I don't think any of you guys really have that struggle. I mean, I'm sure there are some areas that might be great for you, but most of the time, you get it. You know what you're supposed to do. It's not that we don't know what we're supposed to do. We just don't do it, right? You know, we do it sometimes, we won't do it some other times. And look, I know, I get it. I'm supposed to be patient on the freeway. I know I'm supposed to be patient on the freeway. And then I'm in the fast lane and some chucklehead cuts me off and starts going 55 miles an hour. Do you know what I'm talking about? And do you respond? How do you respond? You know, actually, it's the only... I yell at people. And do you guys... Anybody have a personalized license plate? It's the only time I read your personalized license plate. It's when you cut me off, and then I only use it in a derogatory fashion, you know? Like, nice move, QT Pie. That was great. Good job, tennis bum. Get out of my way. We get it. We know the right thing to do, but we don't do it. Why is that? How do we get there? Here's how I think we get there. From the beginning, Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, we all sinned. Now, that seems totally unfair, but that's what the Bible says. When Adam sinned, he was first in the garden, and he said, I'm going to eat that apple. I'm not going to follow God. We were there with him. And it doesn't seem fair, but you see it in your life because what your parents did, you did, you hand on to their kids, they hand on to their kids. It just keeps going and going and going and going. And while that is completely unfair, there's another side that's completely unfair as well, and that's this. That Jesus says, if you follow me, you give your life to me, then this is true of you. When I died, you died. When I was resurrected, you were resurrected. And you can say right now, if that's you, you can say this. Sin is not my master. I don't have to follow it. just because this is the way all guys are, and this is the way other people do it, and this is what, you know, other people say, and I'm only human. Even all, you don't have to say that anymore. You can say, sin is not my master. I don't have to follow it. Now, that's, I've got you all caught up. And I got to tell you that there are times in my life when this is how I live. When sin is not my master, and I'm making the right decisions, and I'm feeling that peace, and I'm feeling that purpose in my life. There are times when... Sorry. Hey, guys, can I get a water? Anybody? Okay, somebody get me a water. Oh, hey, look. Got water. I mean, I get it. There are some times... when things are going really well for me, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm on the right path, and I'm feeling all kinds of joy. But then over time, it starts to leak. And while I did feel good for a while, then something happens. Something goes wrong. Something messes up, and pretty soon, I'm making a mess of the whole stage. I think I'll stay away from that. It's still going. You know what I experience in my life, and I don't know if you experience this in your life. Freedom leak. And I'm following God, and I'm doing the right thing, and then something happens. Something brings stress in my life. Something throws worry. Something happens with my kids, and now I'm worried. And all of a sudden, all that joy, and all that peace, and all that freedom, it just starts to leak. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? This morning, we're going to talk about freedom leak. You know, the Bible tells us that we're dead to sin. How do we stay there? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head. I'm going to give the rest of my message from the carpet. But here's what I want you to do. Just take a moment. Bow your head. We're going to give this time to God right now. I just have a quick question for you. As you sit there with your head bowed, what is draining your freedom today? Think about that for a moment. Kids, wife, husband, work, money. What's causing your joy to leak? I'm guessing something jumped out at you just instantly. I want to just have you do this. I want you to just put that at God's feet. Sometimes I'll make this motion with my hands. Just hold my hands out. I'll just say, God, this is what's leaking. This is what's leaking right now. Now I just want you to take a couple seconds and ask God a very simple, make a little very simple statement to God. Say, God, just speak into this area of my life today. You know, I might not say anything that impacts you today, but God can do that. So just ask God to speak into your life in this moment, okay? Lord God, I have to admit that my freedom's been leaky lately. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to me and that somehow we'd be able to hear your words today. Go deeper than my words, go deeper than the music or any distraction. Help us to hear directly from you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, here's where we're going to start. I've been looking through, other guys have been kind of all over the place. I don't know what they're talking about, but I've been looking through the book of Romans. So why don't you open your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans 7 talks about, I try to do it, but I can't do it. Romans 6 talks about being dead to sin, but being alive to God. Romans 8 gives us some answers. As we look at Romans 8, we're going to start in verse 12, and we're going to find that there's a couple ways that our freedom leads, all right? And the first one is my sin, and the second one is the suffering that I go through in my life. And those are very different things, but those are the things, personally, that cause it to leak in me. That's what Paul, the author of Romans, talked about, too. So Romans chapter 8, verse 12, starts like this. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh. Remember, we're dead to sin. So we're not obliged to do what it says anymore. It's not to the flesh to live according to that, but if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Okay, the misdeeds of the body. My sin, my mistakes. That's the first thing that causes our freedom to leave. It's our own mistakes. You know, there's a couple ways that we get in trouble. But most of the time, let's be honest, a lot of the reasons why we're so leaky isn't anything anybody else did. It's because of something stupid that I did, right? I mean, it just kind of happens over and over and over. And you look back in your life and you just go, well, I can see it. I shouldn't have gone on that date. I should have broken up with that guy. I should never have had that drink. I should never have walked in that part. I should never have had this group of friends in my life. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have felt. I should never have said, that dress makes you look fat. I should never have said it. I shouldn't have gotten in an argument with my boss. Right? And if you're looking, if you're honest, it's like, well, yeah, that's why. And if you watch over the last couple of weeks, any of you heard the name Richard Sherman? And he's talking and talking and talking and trying to convince everybody that he's a great guy. And I'm sure he probably is, but he's wondering, why are you guys all treating me like this? Well, seems pretty obvious to me. We didn't make any wild, brash statements. It was you. But that's the way it is. It's not just his life. It's the way it is in our lives. And the Bible tells us that since sin makes us leak, that what we need to do is we need to be violent with our sin. It doesn't say slowly kind of sneak out the things, the misdeeds of the body. What does it say? It's not up there. It says put to death the misdeeds of the body. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this for you. About 1,000 years ago, in Lithuania, there was a disease that was attacking the people of Lithuania. And here's the problem. It was so dramatic in somebody's life that when they got ill, they couldn't tell. The people in Lithuania could not tell if the person who was suffering with it was alive or dead. And the problem came that they buried some people alive. So the whole town got together and said, well, what are we going to do about this? We cannot be burying people alive. This isn't very good. You know, the Lithuanian JCs are saying, nobody's going to come here anymore if we're burying people alive. So they said, okay, what are our ideas? And one guy had this idea, which I think is probably a pretty good idea. He says, okay, here's what we'll do. When we bury somebody, we'll put some food and water in their casket, and we'll make a hole that goes up to, you know, above ground so that they can breathe, so that if we bury somebody who is really alive, when they revive themselves, they'll be able to scream out through the hole, we'll go get them, right? Now, that's a pretty good idea, right? There was a second guy who came at this from a different angle, right? This was his idea. What we'll do when we bury somebody, instead of having him put food and water in the hole and the whole thing, what we'll do is we'll take about a 2-foot spike on the top of the coffin, and then we'll jam it down into the person and nail it shut. And he was coming at it from a different angle. The first guy's angle was, how can we make sure that if we bury people alive, they stay alive? And the other guy's angle was, how can we make sure that when we bury people, they stay dead? Now, if you lived 1,000 years ago in Lithuania, how many of you would want the first guy's idea? Yes. Anybody for the second idea? I don't think so. You, yeah? All right. If you got whatever you got, whatever that disease is, it's not worth living, right? Is that what you're thinking? Okay, I totally get that. Now, I'm with the first guy. With one possible exception. When it comes to my own sin in my own life, you can't mess around with it. You can't just walk the line of it. And here's the sin, and I'm just gonna stay as close as I can. What the Bible says is put to death the misdeeds of the body. But you know what? Too often that's not what we think. We don't think, oh, I'll just be really radical with my sin. We think, yeah, if I just stay a little bit away, I'm good. And we'll say things to ourselves like this. Yeah, I know that there are some bad parts in this movie, but I hear it's really funny, so I'm going to go. We just kind of think, okay, I'll walk here, and I'll be fine. Or we say, you know what, I don't really have the money, but it's the Nordstrom half-yearly sale. I'm like practically saving money by going here. You know, it's like I'll be losing money if I don't show up at that sale. Now, I know I shouldn't eat this, but, you know, it is a party. I know I should go to bed. I should just go to bed. But instead, you just keep clicking, 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 clicking. I don't know if you guys ever listen to Jerry Seinfeld's comedy. He says, this is the thumb. This is the last part of the body to fall asleep. I know I shouldn't watch. I know I shouldn't get on that website. I know I shouldn't go to that movie. I know I shouldn't have that piece of pie. I know I shouldn't go to that half-yearly sale. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. But I do it anyway. Because this is us. We just go, if I just stay on this side, I'll be good. We walk that little line. We're not harsh with our sin. We're lenient with our sin. We cut our sins some slack. We give it a break. Now, it says we're supposed to murder our sin. I know that sounds really harsh. Yeah, especially for me. I'm just not a violent person. I just have never been violent, ever. I never got in a fist fight. Can you believe that? Any of you guys got in a fist fight? Yeah, I know it's like, oh, I love it. Cindy, raise your hand. Hi. Bet you won, too, huh? Like, I remember one time in junior high, this guy wanted to get me in a fist fight. His name was Garcia, and he kept following me around. And so my goal that day was trying to befriend him, you know? So I said, hi, Garcia, every time. Like, I was trying to be real nice. Because in my mind, I felt like that's the kind of thing that Mr. Brady would have said to Peter Brady, you know? I'm just not a violent person by nature, but there's one exception where I was a very, very violent person, murderous person. See, years and years and years ago, in this old house that we lived in, we had a dog, and we thought, you know, the dog was kind of annoying. When he'd eat, he'd kind of get food everywhere, and he'd drink, he'd, you know, get slobber everywhere. So what we decided to do was to open up the garage door and leave it open. He'd go out, he could eat his food, and he'd come back in. So he had complete access getting in and out of our house. But you know what else had complete access getting in and out of our house? Mice. Oh, yeah. Some of you ladies are just, not Cindy, she could. But. And it just started out small, and you see the little droppings, or you hear something, what was that? And we didn't think too much of it until one day my wife's in the kitchen, and there's a drawer with the dish towels, and she pulls it out, and a mouth right at her. And the way she screamed, it was like you could see the mouse at her jugular. And I remember what she said to me. She looked me in the eye and says, if you don't get rid of these mice, I am moving out into a hotel. And I realized I have got to do something about these mice. And it wasn't, it was partly love for my wife, but secondly, I don't want to pay for a hotel. So I had started out in the early, with these little mouse traps, the snap traps, and I put peanut butter in them. But these mice were awesome. I mean, they were these covert Navy SEAL mice. And I would find these traps, and the peanut butter was gone. But they could lick all the peanut butter out, and it wouldn't snap them. They were amazing. So I took it up to the next level. At the camp that I worked at, they dealt with mice all the time. And instead of those regular snap traps, what they had was, they're about this big, and they were glue traps. You know what I'm talking about? And they have about a quarter inch of glue, and they walk on there, and they lick the peanut butter, but they can't get themselves off. And now, that the upside is you catch them all. The downside is a sticky trap doesn't kill the mouse. You got to kill the mouse. And so you're walking up to these, and the mouse is still alive. And so I had to kill every one of those. And that sounds awful, doesn't it? But listen, Beth, it was them or me. You know what? The time of just kind of playing around was over. And that's the way it is with you. If you don't want your freedom to leak, the time to deal with your sin is now. And don't play around with it. Don't walk the line. It says to put to death the misdeeds of the body. That word put means to constantly put. It's a better phrase would be putting to death. Always being on the alert. Let me give you a couple ways to do that. One, I think they're up here. You just got to be honest with yourself. Stop saying to yourself, this is just a family trait. Stop saying to yourself, this is just what guys do. Stop saying to yourself, I'm only human. All humans are like that. Stop saying to that. Put to death those misdeeds. Sin is not your master. Secondly, confess your sin to someone. This isn't a Catholic thing. Don't set an appointment with my office and tell me everything, all right? You don't need to do that. Find somebody and tell them and go into detail. Let me tell you something. There's something that happens in that moment. And sin loses a little bit of its power in your life the moment you confess. I don't know if you've experienced that, but that grip loosens when you confess. Again, let me give you a third one. Get professional help. If you need it, get it. Find a counselor. Go to AA. Go to some kind of... I'll say it again. Go to AA. Satisfied? Listen, don't play around with it. If you can't handle it and you don't know the answers, get help. And that might be something that I can help you with if you're struggling with it. Send me an email. Let me know. Now, there's one other step that I took when it came to dealing with the mice, which was probably the most important step. I had to be violent with them, and I had to make sure that I cleaned up all the sticky traps and killed all those mice. And I was constantly on the verge. But if I don't take this one step, I never clear my house of mice. You know what that was? I had to close the back door so that they wouldn't get in. You see, here's what we have to do and it's probably your first step, and that is to create a safe house for you. A place where you're not toying around with sin, but you are getting it as far away as you can. And if lust is your issue, then put on your computer safeguards so you can't go to those sites. And on your television set, have your wife set the parental controls so you can't flip around to those sites. So that your home, it's safe. It's a place where you can be, and those things don't sneak in. Now, you know, if you're a guy, those kind of things are, they're like mice. They're trying to sneak into your life everywhere, so you're always going to be nailing things to keep it up, but that's what you got to do. And don't think this is just a male issue. If there is a guy at your work that makes you feel good and more attractive and sexy, then you have to get away from that person and don't nurture that relationship. Or maybe it's books, or maybe it's movies for you too. I don't know, but you have to keep yourself separate. Create a guardrail for you. And stay out, you know, dump out all your liquor, and stay out of that part of the neighborhood, and don't hang out with those friends that make you do the wrong thing. You have to keep away from it. Okay, let me tell you a story. I might have told you this before, but there was a guy who was struggling, and he was struggling with his weight, and there was a donut shop that he went to every day. And he told his friend, he says, man, I got to stop going to that donut shop. So he said, look, I make you a vow. I drive by that donut shop every day, and I will not stop tomorrow unless there's that one parking space that's right in front of the donut shop. If that place is open, then I'll go. But if not, then I'm just going to keep on driving. Well, he shows up the next day, and he's got a bag with a donut in it, and his friend goes, well, I guess that spot in the front was open, right? And he says, yeah, I only had to circle the block 5 times. But that's who we are, right? We keep circling the block. We keep staying in the neighborhood. We keep walking the line. And God says, put it to death. Be harsh with it. Do whatever it takes. Create that safe house. Now, that steals my joy. That's where my freedom leaks. But there's a second one. Freedom leak number 2 is suffering. You know, sometimes we make a mistake and we pay the penalty, and we kind of get that, right? At least we understand it. I did something dumb, now I have to pay the price for that. But there are other times when something happens in our life where the worst part about it is you don't see how it's just not this obvious thing that you made a mistake. And illness sneaks in to somebody's life around you, and you go, what is this? I don't deserve this. Look at me at verse 17, Matthew 8, verse 17. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. I told you before that if you follow God, then you get all the benefits of what Jesus did, right? He died, you died, you're dead to sin. He rose, you'll rise again. Here's another benefit. He suffered, you suffered. It's just part of it. Look at me at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not on its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Okay, this is a really confusing verse. You're going, what does this mean? Well, here's what it means. When Adam sinned, he didn't just bring sin into our lives. He brought it into the whole world. And the reason why we have suffering is because our world is broken. And sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, natural disasters entered the world. Disease entered the world. Mental illness entered the world. All of these things came because of that. Because our world is broken. You know, I get it when I make a mistake and I pay for it. When I have to stand back and watch somebody go through suffering that they did not deserve, man, that's hard. You know, it's helpless. We've all experienced it, right? You know somebody that's been sick and they have to go through this difficult time. Why do they have to do that? Or somebody that's been battling depression and you watch in their life and just, why? You know, it's hard. I get it when my own mistakes impact me, but when it's somebody else, like you work for a boss and whenever it's his sins that are impacting your life, or your spouse is making mistakes that's impacting your life, or your parents made mistakes that impact your life. Man, when that happens, freedom just leaks from me. Joy just leaks out of my life. Why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to carry this? You know, I got like a couple minutes left. How can I ever explain this to you? I'm going to give it a shot. I think you need to understand this, what God's goal is for you in your life. Let me explain what God's goal is not, okay? God's goal is not that your life would be run in such a way that everything would go your way. And you would get all the promotions, and you would always be healthy, and your transmission would be eternal. It would never go out. And your clutch would never go out, which mine did. It was $1,300 this last week. Praise God. And everything would go your way, and you would be happy. That is not God's goal for your life. God's goal for your life is that you would get to the place where your joy and your peace and your freedom is independent of your circumstances. Did you hear that over there? I got a female say it on that side of the room. You know, most of us don't have that. Most of us have what's known as happy. You know what happy is? Happy is joy and peace and freedom that is based on happening. But here's what I found. If you have to wait for that, good luck with that. You know, the older you get, the more planets you have that have to align themselves for you to everything to be good for you today. And if that does happen, do me a favor. Buy a lotto that day. Because in my life, it just doesn't work out that way, because something's always wrong and something's always broken and something always needs to be fixed and some kid always has a problem. That's just life. Look, God wants us to somehow learn in the suffering that He is there. Somehow learn in the suffering that He brings good. Somehow learn in the suffering that you can have joy, that you can find things to be thankful for in the suffering. And if He gets you to the place where it's not dependent on everything around you, then you don't leak as much. Write these verses down. They might be written down for you. James 1, verse 2. If you are in suffering, these are great. Look with me. James 1, 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You don't get perseverance without suffering. Sorry. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You don't walk through life and, uh-oh, there's a pothole, I'm ruined. It doesn't happen to you because you have persevered, you've become mature and complete. Let me give you these verses. Another, 1 Peter 5, 6, and verse 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I wish it said, humble yourselves, that he may lift you up now. Doesn't say that. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you. He'll make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You don't reach strong, firm, and steadfast without suffering. And this one puts it all in perspective. Next verse. You don't have it? Then I'll read. Yeah, you do. It's in your Bible. Romans 8:18. We're there. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, what I want is I want it all to work out now and in my timing. But listen, this is the way it mostly... This is our ultimate glory. If we follow Jesus, we give our life to him. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. And the day will come when we are in eternity and he makes it all right. He heals all illness. He wipes every tear. He makes it right. Okay, one more challenge. Look, I know you're probably thinking that what I was going to say is you got to plug the hole, right? That's our biggest problem. We got to plug the hole. You got too many holes. I'm sorry. You will always have a hole. And I think your only answer is, if you're thirsty, you better stay close to the water source. You got to stay close to Jesus. Because your freedom's going to leak. Let's take a moment, let's pray. God, it's... You know, as a pastor of a church this size, you know. I know. I can look around. I can tell you to almost every, you know, a lot of people, I can say, this. I know how your freedom leaks. You've had the conversation with me. And so here's what I want to do. I'm going to just pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would show my friends that you have power, that you would give them encouragement in the darkest of times, that you would help them to find joy. God, I pray that you would help them to find things to be thankful for. God, that they wouldn't give up, that when the illness seems just so hard and when the difficulty with the child just seems so difficult and the marriage seems so tenuous, that they would not give up, that they would persevere. And at the end of the day, they would know that you are God and you can bring joy no matter what. I pray for my friends today.